Let's talk about the latest EU meeting to try and bail out the failing union. And we're laughing a little bit because we're just discussing the story that Ursula von der Leyen has hired a PR firm.
A sign of growing panic, I would say. I mean, you know, she obviously needs a PR firm because clearly things are falling apart. And that's, well, we'll get into it. Okay. I mean, we've discussed many times over our recent series of programs how the EU has completely failed over the whole our Corona crisis. They failed to come up with a single pro policy, you know, a health policy. I mean, you know, we have a pandemic across the European Union, but the European Union is playing no role in coordinating policy around that pandemic. For weeks, they tried to defend their open borders policy, the free movement policies. I mean, do you remember how Macron was talking about, you know, the corona has no passports, so what would closing all our internal borders do? And of course, eventually, all the East European states just went ahead and did it anyway, as did Austria and all the others, and they just had to go along. But I mean, you know, that kind of utterly delusional failure from the political health side of things, and it's now been matched by an equally complete and absolute failure on the economic side of things. So we have a situation where the Eurozone, the European Union economy is now going downhill fast because, of course, most of it is in lockdown. And the problems in Southern Europe, where economies aren't in massive debt. I mean, Italy's debt now is probably going to, Italy's debt to GDP is probably going to be around 180% of debt to GDP. I mean, you know, it's just off the scale. And remember, Italy doesn't have its own currency, so it can't do what Japan does, which basically is print money to keep itself out of trouble. Difficult to do in Italy anyway, but anyway, they can't do it because they're locked into the euro. So the Southern Europeans were saying, we need help, we want to have euro bonds or corona bonds so that we can pool all of Europe's resources, which means ultimately Germany's resources, to get ourselves out of these problems. And there was talk a few weeks ago about a Marshall, you know, plan for Europe to try and help Southern Europe. And we've had a whole succession of meetings and nothing was agreed. And then, of course, on Thursday, we had yet another one of these endless succession of meetings, virtual meetings, as they now basically are. And this one was supposed to be about setting up some great rescue fund, which is going to finance the recovery of Europe after the corona crisis is over. It was going to do all sorts of positive things and move forward. And again, no agreement on how this fund is to be funded. But Merkel has made it absolutely clear that there will be no question of bonds. It won't be funded through euro bonds. It will only be funded through money that the various European states will put in. So think about it. Italy, for example, will have to put money into this rescue fund. So it'll be putting in money with one hand in order to get some money out with the other. I mean, it's going to be that kind of situation.
Well, when you mean Italy, can I start? When you mean Italy, you mean in the form of what? Taxes, VAT increases, what?
Whatever, taxes, VAT increases, whatever. They will have to put money in. So they will have to make contributions because this will be a fund that will be funded through budgets. They will have to fund it by increasing taxes in Italy to put so that Italy can make its contribution to this fund. And then out of that fund, it will then receive some money to help its economy. So it will be paying, in effect, to help itself. I mean, it's that kind of level of lunacy. And then on top of that, it seems that the Italians were hoping that this fund would provide grants, But apparently it's not going to provide grants. It's going to be loans all over again. So this is just another European stability mechanism. We have the European stability mechanism, which is now going to be used to roll over the existing debt, might piling on more debt. And we're going to have yet another fund structured in almost the identical way to try to help European economies supposedly get out of the economic crisis they're going to be faced with as a result of the corona crisis. And that's going to be structured and run in exactly the same way, with loans from a central fund, with all the conditions that go with the loans.
All right. So this sounds like another grift, courtesy of the European Union. In other words, Alexander, what you're saying, and I'm going to break it down in very simplistic terms, more austerity, more taxes, more punishment levied on the citizens of Europe, the everyday working people of Europe, to be pulled together into this fund under the control of van der Leyen and Michel and Lagarde, so that they can then put their hands into this fund and dish it out to all their elitist buddies. That's what I see
going on. Exactly so, with Angela Merkel, Queen of Europe, and absolutely in the end calling all the shots, because that's what it's going to do. I mean, she's been given a renewed lease of life. Like a vampire, she's had another blood infusion, and she's come back, and her approach is exactly the same as before. So, as I said, it's going to be once more a system of, basically big slush funds, if you like, in which the Euro elite bails out his friends through funds other people pay for through taxes, and those funds, those grants, rather those loans, will add, of course, further tax burdens, which people will have to pay for, because, as I said, they will have to repay those loans, which means higher taxes, and of course the loans will come with interest, so that has to be paid back too. So we're just going round in circles. Now, I will quickly say that there are some ideas going around, floating around, that the Italians and the Spanish won't actually apply to this fund because they're so disgusted by it, and that they will look to the European Central Bank to go on printing money indefinitely and buying up their debt and monetizing their debt. If they really believe that, then they're living in fairyland, because the Germans won't allow it. There's no conceivable way that the German central bank, the Bundesbank, and the German government will let the European Central Bank go on behaving like that indefinitely. It's just not going to happen. But sooner or later, the European Central Bank will act in the same way as it did during the Greek crisis. It will act as the enforcer of the European central institutions, and it will cut off funding as it did then.
How many times do the European citizens have to go through this? How many times do we have to go through this? Over and over again, it is the same story. Every crisis, the leaders in Brussels, the corrupt kleptocrats in Brussels, come up with the same damn schemes all the time. Austerity on the people, create these slush funds, dole out the money to all our buddies and all our pals. Well, it's literally rinse and repeat over and over again. And that's all I'm hearing. Spain's going to fold. Italy's going to fold. Greece is going to fold. Portugal's going to fold. Ireland's going to fold. Every single country in Europe, all the leaders, they may be talking a brave game and say, no, we're not gonna submit to Merkel, and we're not gonna submit to loans and funds and ESMs. They're all gonna fold. And at the end of the day, all we're gonna see as citizens, our VAT's at 25% and taxes at 15%. And all the leaders are gonna get on TV and say, we're fighting World War III, and this is a fight for our lives. So we need solidarity as European citizens and blah, 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 blah. Yes. That's exactly what we're going to hear.
Well, it, well, I mean, that's if you continue to vote in the present leaders, that's exactly what you're going to get. I'll be absolutely clear about this. I mean, you need a fundamental change of leadership in the European countries. I mean, if whatever view people may have about Salvini, and I know there are a lot of people who are sceptical about him and who think that he may not see carry through. At the end of the day, who else is there? So you have to, it seems to me, get behind people like him, because otherwise you're going to be trapped in this constant, endless situation where, as I said, the central European institutions, instead of supporting European economies, which of course they will never do because they're not structurally designed to do. And it's arguable that they can't do it anyway, because Europe is not a country, and it should not be thought of in that way. So you know, either you go along with this dysfunctional thing year after year, decade after decade, immiserating your own people, seeing your societies crash, see your health services disappear, because that's what happened in Italy. I mean, the Italian health service almost collapsed, came very close, and in some places it did collapse because it is now so badly funded. Sooner or later, there will be a crash. The only question is, how long will it take? How much damage must be done in the meantime?
Yeah, it's badly funded because Draghi and Lagarde and Tusk and all these people, Juncker, they need, you know, four or five homes all over Europe. That's why it's so badly funded.
Well, this is because of course, from their point of view, the system they have at the moment, they do very well out of it. I mean, they personally do extremely well out of it. They've no incentive to reform or change something that works so well for them, and then it will never do it. And I think this is something people, it puzzles me that this fact just doesn't seem to get through. Of course, one has to always remember that there are people in Rome and people in Paris and people in Athens and people in all sorts of places, people in Nicosia too, I've no doubt, who are very invested in this system themselves because they also do very well out of it. But ultimately, if you're talking about the people of Italy, of Spain, of Greece, of Cyprus, of France, it's up to them. They've got to start organizing and voting against this thing and stop worrying and thinking, you know, that the European Union is going to come as some kind of Santa Claus to their rescue. When, on the contrary, all it does when it comes is take their money.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. In times like this, all the European Union does is it says, great, now we can get more stuff.
Yes.
We can bleed them a little more dry.
Yes.
We can buy up some more property.
Yes.
We can buy up some more businesses.
Yes.
We can destroy the countries a little more. We can destroy their religion a little more. We can destroy their culture a little more. We can destroy their family values a little more. That's exactly what the European Union does at times like this. Very quickly, Alexander, this is what van der Leyen said in a quote, and I think it gives it away very quickly, and you can wrap up the video. Van der Leyen said that she will examine innovative financial instruments in the next budget. Innovative financial instruments. Sounds like a nightmare.
It is. Yeah, more ways to raise money from those who haven't got any. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, can I say straight away again that I am not in favor of euro bonds. I am not in favor of corona bonds. What you need to do, and I can't emphasize this too strongly, is you've got to dismantle the euro. That is the mechanism that is ultimately bringing this whole structure down, and which is immiserating people in Southern Europe. People have got to get past this point where they are too terrified to take on the euro because they're worried that if they give up on the euro, well, something terrible will happen. Something terrible is happening. It's happening to them every day, and it will go on happening so long as they stick by this thing. And in the meantime, we will get all these innovative financial mechanisms, which will always be, as I said, new ways of applying further torture on the people of Italy, France, Spain, Greece, Cyprus, You name it.
Name it. Name it. And they're going to have the perfect excuse this time. They're going to say, oh, well, we had this pandemic.
Yeah.
And now all the citizens have to pitch in.
Yes.
We all have to come together. So we need to create this massive trillion-euro fund.
Well, indeed, sir. Which, of course, I mean, they're not going to come together. And as I said, this isn't about coming together. It's about advantaging some people at the expense of others. As I said, it simply creates another EU slush fund. That's what, by the way, structural funds, if we can talk about structural funds in another program, but that's what they are. This is what this will be. It is another form of slush fund to keep some people in all these countries happy at the expense of all the rest.
God, I bet you that like Lagarde and all her pals and all the elites, the globalist elites and the kleptocrats and all these technocrats, I bet you they are just salivating at getting their dirty hands on a trillion euro slush fund.
Of course they are.
I mean, I bet you they are just, they can't sleep at night dreaming about getting their hands on that trillion dollar slush fund.
Well, of course they are. That's exactly what they're thinking about. I mean, I don't know if any of our viewers have seen Bertolt Brecht's Throffany Opera, where they said the gangsters set up a bank in order to get people's money. So that they say to themselves, you know, why steal from a bank when you can steal from the people through a bank? That's exactly what Lagarde and Co. are up to. It's exactly what this is all about. Be under no doubt about it. This is exactly what it is. If you want to see that play, that's the play where, you know, that famous song, Mac the Knife, comes from. Mac the Knife is in charge. Only he, or rather she, now goes by the name of Christine Lagarde.
Jesus. Jesus, help us. All right. Alexander McCurris, Editor-in-Chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button. Smash that like. Also, please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps us out a lot. And look for an audio copy of this video, by the way, on iTunes and SoundCloud. We have our podcasts on those platforms as well. And please go to the Durant Shop, pick up some magic mugs, polo shirts. Your purchases help out this channel a whole lot as well. We don't have access to trillion dollar or trillion euro slush funds, Alexander, and I'm sure none of our viewers have access to trillion dollars.
No, we don't.
And funds like Lagarde and van der Leyen and Michelle and Tusk and Draghi and Juncker and all those guys.
Absolutely, and we don't want to be, and that's why we do the Durant. But can I just say, I mean, doing the Durant is obviously a great joy because we interact with our viewers, but we do need your support. Because as I said, without it, we wouldn't be able to exist. But you know, we also respect our viewers to a tremendous extent, and you know, with good cause, we are hugely always impressed by the quality of the comments and the emails and things that we get. So we express that respect by providing you in our shop with such great things. And here we have, this is a magic mug. This one has the double-headed eagle of the Durant, which you can see there, different from the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation, which I think is on the mug that Alex has at this moment in time. But you can see this is our very own double-headed eagle. It flies, hovers over the world, looks at everything east and west, and that's what it's what you see its two heads doing. So that's our double-headed eagle, and it's on one of our amazing magic mugs. I've spoken many times about the extraordinary quality of these magic mugs. I've said how I'm the world expert on mugs, having had, you know, hundreds of them since I was, you know, at school, when I first started to drink coffee and tea, when I was, you know, about 16, 15, maybe. So I know exactly all about mugs, and I can assure you, you will not get better ones. They are beautifully made. They're light and strong. They're a joy to hold. They're a joy to look at, and they're absolutely a joy to drink from. And the feedback we get from those who buy them is absolutely stellar. And the same is true of our polo shirts, 100% cotton, incredibly stylish, incredibly comfortable to wear. They also have, you can see it there, the double-headed eagle of the Durand. They are a joy to own. Our viewers, again, the reviews, the feedback we get from them is phenomenal about how much they appreciate them. And of course, not just our polo shirts, our t-shirts, short-sleeved and long-sleeved, our v-neck shirts, all, as I said, all 100% cotton, all of the same exceptional quality. And we also have hats, hoodies, and stickers. And we've now got ebooks, and we've, well, more ebooks. We've got one more, this time on the oil price situation. And that adds to a library of ebooks on subjects like Russiagate and Ukrainegate and Epstein and Brexit. So you come to our shop, you support us, you become the owner of these great things. Don't hold back. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander Merkurst, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.